Hi everyone, this is Catherine Savanis, Executive District Manager with Arbonne International. I am so excited today to have Mr. Richard Blissbrook on the call today.
Thank you, Catherine. What I want to tell you, Arbonne folks, is how honored I am to have the opportunity to speak to you. I have a long and fond relationship with Arbonne. Donna Johnson is a good friend of mine. Dan Collins is a good friend. And we, the three of us, have worked together over the years to bring our profession together in a collaborative state so that, you know, instead of trying to recruit each other's distributors and tout whose company's better and whose company's faster and stronger, we're actually champions of each other. And Arbonne is a favorite company for me because of how the leadership pulled together a few years ago in times of challenges and powered right through what would have sent most people screaming for their mommies. And you all did a phenomenal job of continuing to build and promote and lead and support your people. So I'm excited to be here. I had a conversation with Catherine last week about some Bliss business philosophies and about the four-year career, and she asked me if I would share those with the entire group. So I'll speak to that a little bit, and then Catherine, if you would just tell me what you want me to talk about next or if you have any particular questions. I don't want to go on and on about any of these subjects because sometimes people want to hear something more specific. So let me first speak to the four-year career, the book, and the reason why I wrote it and how it is being used by those organizations that are using it successfully. It is based on a premise which has come from decades of prospecting people, talking to them about my company, about network marketing, about their vision, their dreams, their values. And so I've been doing this 38 years full time. So I have prospected thousands and thousands of people and done thousands of presentations. And I just sort of evolved to this way of thinking that people don't generally object to our products. So, you know, you may be talking to, you know, a long haul truck driver about organic skincare and you find there's not really a good match there. But if you're talking to generally the right prospect, somebody that, you know, really does care about their skin or, you know, probably a woman, but not necessarily, and you don't get somebody that's interested, it's not because they aren't interested in better skincare. They are interested in better skincare. And if they knew what you knew about your products, they would be very interested in at least trying them. And then when you switch over to the company, so you're showing somebody the Arbonne products, and of course, maybe you get them involved, maybe you don't get them involved, but you go to show them the company, and I can't remember the last time somebody looked at my company website, and I think the same is true for Arbonne, looked at the Arbonne company website and said, you know, I just don't like this management team. I just don't think you guys know much about web design or graphics or branding or storytelling. I don't think people object to our companies. And I don't think if they're in the right category of prospect that they even object to our products. Most network marketing companies have state-of-the-art products. They have a story that gives them an edge of some kind. What I found most people object to is how we do business, the business model. And that's not because they actually would object to the business model because, well, look at us. If they knew what we knew about our business model, would they object to it? I think not. So I came to this way of thinking that, you know, instead of spending time trying to convince people about my products or show them how wonderful my company is, maybe I ought to spend time talking to them about the one thing that is really a stumbling block for them, and that is how we do business, because it's really just a misconception. Here's what I like to ask people that have met, you could try this on. This is a technique, if you will. Somebody's never tried Arbonne product. And I could say to you, Catherine, if you're a prospect, Catherine, I realize you've never tried these products, and I realize that you haven't even suggested you're willing to try them. But I have a question for you, a hypothetical. If you did sort of lose your mind for a moment and your credit card came dancing out of your wallet and swiped right through my little square thing and all of a sudden I've got 200 of your dollars and you've got a nice box of these products. If that just magically happened somehow and you used the product for 30 days and you absolutely fell in love with them, like you just thought these are the best skincare products you've ever used, my question for you, Catherine, is would you keep paying for them and using them? Most people, when you ask them that question, go, well, yeah. I mean, if the products work that good, of course I would. And so then my next question is, if the products work that good, do you think you'd ever tell anybody about them? Well, yeah, I suppose I would. And if Arbonne started sending you a check for $400 or $500 because of the people that you told about the product, what would you do with the check? I suppose I'd spend it. And if the check started increasing because the people that you told about the product kind of went through the same process that you did, and they started telling people about the products, and now your check is $700 or $1,000 a month, do you think you'd tell anybody about the money you're earning from Arbonne? Especially if the more people you tell about it, the more money you earn. They'd probably say, well, yeah, I suppose I would. So just by asking people to pretend, you're casting a vision of network marketing, the business model, that's totally different than the conversation they have in their head about it, which is probably a conversation that sounds like bothering my friends and relatives or pressuring people or, you know, taking on the burden of a business that I don't know anything about. It's going to cost me a lot of money. And, you know, they just have a whole story about it. So one of the things that I like to teach people to keep them grounded in a truth is, if your prospects knew what you knew about Arbonne, would they at least take a look? And everybody can say, well, of course they would if they knew what I knew. And it's not so much Arbonne that they're missing, because that's easy. It's easy to show people the credibility and the performance of the products. Now, they're not ever going to really know until they try them, but it's easy to show people the credibility of the company. What has not been so easy historically is to show people how network marketing is not what they think it is. Or a lot of people, if you've ever watched a Super MLM Man episode, that's when I go out on the street and interview people about what they think about network marketing. It's shocking. People have no idea what I'm talking about. Even if I say, okay, you don't know what network marketing is, how about MLM? Multi-level marketing? No, don't know what that is either. How about direct sales? How about a direct selling opportunity? Yeah, that's like Facebook. That's like Nordstrom's. That's like AT&T. People have no idea what we do. And if you say, well, it's like Amway, say, oh, yeah, that's a pyramid scheme. So that's how ignorant people are about our business model. So the purpose of the four-year career, the book, is to simply address the thing that people are most confused about, most ignorant about, most afraid of, and to address it in a generic way. Another big advantage of using the four-year career book in that when we start talking about our products and our companies, people's advertising defenses go up. They put up a filter. They know that we're selling a particular product. We're talking to them about a particular company. So they have this conversation that sort of says, well, yeah, but I don't know if that's really true because it's advertising. Whereas the magic of the book, The Four-Year Career, is it's a book. And it plays into the paradigm of we're raised in a society that says if we want to seek wisdom and knowledge and truth, we find it in books. We don't find it in videos. We don't find it on Facebook. We don't find it listening to advertisers. We find it in books. So even though the book is a little cumbersome, it's a physical product. People actually have to read it, which doesn't take very long, maybe an hour or two at the most. What they see when they see the book is, this is credible, this is independent, this is wisdom, this is truth. What this book says has credence. And so to answer your first question, Catherine, to speak to how do you use the book, there's three different ways to use the four-year career. My favorite way to use it is as a first look prospecting tool, but only when the conversation I'm having with the prospect is about money. And I imagine in Arbonne, a lot of the initial conversations are about skincare. If I was an Arbonne distributor, I would be looking for opportunities to talk about money way more than skincare. Why? Because people think they can buy skincare anywhere. They can buy skincare online. They can buy skincare from 20 different direct selling companies. They can buy skincare from you know, all these high-end department stores. It's not necessarily a unique conversation. And are those products as good as Arbon? No, but your prospect doesn't know that yet. I would be talking to people about lifestyle and about offsetting those college educations and saving for retirement and paying down debt and helping finance taking care of their parents. People stress far more about money than they do skincare. So it's not always possible to talk about money. Sometimes it's just a more natural conversation to talk about skincare or health. But if there's an opportunity to talk about money, instead of me talking about the financial opportunity with Arbon, what I'm going to talk about is network marketing as a business model. And I'm going to give them the book. And here's how I do that. So, Catherine, if I was talking to you, and, you know, we're sitting at a soccer game and we're watching our kids play soccer, and I ask you, you know, where's Johnny going to go to college? And you say, well, you know, he wants to be an architect and he's going to go here. And I might ask, how are you going to handle that? And you say, well, we're hoping he's going to get scholarships. And I might say, yeah, I'm hoping that too. And what are we going to do if they don't? And you say, you know what, we're not prepared for that. I would pull the four-year career out of my purse, and I would show it to you, and I would say, Catherine, I'm reading this book that's teaching me how to, and what you fill in the gap after the how-to is depending on who you're talking to. So if we're talking about a college education that's maybe, you know, 5, 6, 7 years away, I might say, I'm reading this book that teaches me how to earn an extra $2,000 or $3,000 a month without leaving my full-time job or my career. It's fun, it's simple, and I'm interested in it because I want a backup plan to pay for Johnny's college education. So whatever I say about what's in the book is tailored to who I'm talking to. But then I follow it with a very profound question and follow it immediately. And the question is, Catherine, if that were true, is that something you'd want to read about? And almost everybody I've ever asked that question to says yes. And so all I do is say, you know, this book will take you an hour or two to look through. Can you look it over in the next couple of days? If you can, I'll loan you this copy. If they say, you know, I can't get to it for 2 or 3 weeks, I say, well, let's get together in 2 or 3 weeks and I'll get you the book. Don't give it to people unless they promise they'll read it in the next couple of days. So people that promise they'll read it, you give them the book, you get their contact information, you follow up in a couple of days. About half of them have read it. So the ones that haven't, you just chase them around for a while and keep getting them to commit and follow up. But here's the magic of this approach. For the people who actually do read the book, you can now have a very easy and fun transitional conversation into Arbon because they're going to want to know how you're doing it. So that's when you introduce Arbon to them. So that's way number one to use the four-year career. The second way to use it is anybody who's thinking about it. So maybe you've talked to them about the product line. Maybe you've sold somebody a sample kit, you know, give them the book to take home and read so they're also starting to think about the financial opportunity. Or maybe somebody, you've shown them the financial opportunity and, you know, yeah, I'm not sure if this is something I want to do. Let me think about it. Give them the book, take it home to read it so that they get a different view of what network marketing is about. And the third way is if a brand new distributor has never seen the book before as part of their process, get them a book so that you prevent some buyer's remorse. Get them a book so that they're reading about a phenomenal profession that they just joined so they don't get freaked out in the first 2 or 3 weeks and quit. So that's all I'm going to say about the four-year career. We can talk about that more if you have some questions. I want to speak briefly now because Catherine asked me to the Bliss business philosophy of prospecting and enrolling people, if you will. I'm sure I'm not the only person that promotes this philosophy, but it is a 180 degrees from the philosophies that have been used primarily for the last 60 years in the direct selling industry. And I'll speak to those first. In the simplest terms, the way we have recruited and sold our products for the last 60 years in the direct selling profession is by telling people what they should do. So if I get in a conversation with you and I'm going to talk to you about skincare, what I start telling you is that you should use Arbon. You should use organic. You should use Arbon. And here's why you should. And I say start making all these wonderful claims for the products. And whatever you're using now is wrong and not good enough. And you should use my product. Or if I'm addressing the financial opportunity, The approach that I take is you should do network marketing. You should do Arbonne. If you know about network marketing, you should do Arbonne over any other company. If you don't know about network marketing, you should be doing Arbonne and network marketing. And what you do for a living now is wrong. It's not good enough. It's not going to give you financial freedom. It's not going to send your kids to college. You're not going to be prepared if you get laid off. There's this whole fear conversation and a positioning that what people are doing now is wrong and not good enough. And the dysfunction of that approach is that it dishonors the prospect. It basically turns into an intellectual argument about whose product or whose life path is a better choice. And so if you look at the marketplace, if you go out like I have done with Super MLM Man and you talk to people about the direct selling industry, the network marketing industry, what you find is that just a general consensus of who we are and how we do business is distasteful for people. They don't understand it because they've never cared to want to understand it because they don't like it. They don't like how they've been treated. They don't like how they've been argued with. They don't like how they've been put down. They don't like how they've been manipulated. They especially don't like how they've been deceived. And so we have 60 years worth of that in our profession. So that's why when you go out and just talk to people generally about what you're doing, you run into all this static and all this fear and all this frustration and all this avoidance. And people, prospects really don't know how to articulate what they're feeling about what we do. So they say things like, I don't like to sell. I don't have time. I don't have the money. They say things like that that aren't true. We know that's not true. We know people love to sell. In fact, the people who are telling us they don't love to sell, don't like to sell, they hate selling, are selling us on the fact that they don't like to sell. And if they don't have time, they're selling us on that. And we know they have time for things they really want to have time for. So the Bliss business philosophy of prospecting and enrolling people is steeped in honoring people. And the most powerful way that you and I can honor someone else is to put our innate psychological human need for us to be right and us to be heard and us to be known and us to be accepted, set that aside and make the conversation all about the other person. And there's been lots of people that have taught us to do that over the years through manipulative questions. Questions that are designed to act like we're interested and act like we're curious, but what we really are looking to set people up so we can knock them over with our opportunity or in our product. And the Bliss business approach is different than that. It's kind of the anti-training approach because you don't really have to learn how to do it. You just have to be committed to doing it. And so the best word that I can use to describe honoring people is to be curious about them. So I want you all to imagine that you're in front of your next prospect. And this may be somebody that you met on Facebook. Maybe you're chatting with them on Facebook. Maybe you're sitting next to them on an airplane. Maybe you're sitting next to them at church or a soccer practice. And I just want you to imagine that all you are relative to this person you're in front of is curious. You're not a recruiter. You're not looking to advance in the comp plan this month. You're not looking to earn a fast start bonus on them. You're not looking to do any of that. What you're looking to do is be something, not do something. And the be something is curious. So if you and I are together and all you are is curious about me, the form of your conversation is not going to come in you telling me what I should do. The form of the conversation is going to be you asking me questions. And you actually only have to ask one to start the process. And that can be any question in the world, but let's just say it's what's your name or where do you live or what do you do for a living or are you coming or going or whatever. Is that your kid out there? It's a question. And then from that point on, people will ask me, well, if I'm curious and I'm asking lots of questions, what do I ask them? And so this is where the untraining part comes in. If you will just trust your intuition and trust your commitment to be curious, what I say is the next question you will ask the prospect is based on the first answer they gave you. So you might ask them what they do for a living, and they tell you. And if you just trust your intuition and you're curious, you might ask them how long they've been doing that. Or you might ask them what they like about it. Or you might ask them something entirely different, just based on your own curiosity and your own intuition and your own commitment to be present to this other person. The concept of being present is huge in this process. And here's the best way I can describe it. If I am present to you, I am not judging you. So if I ask you what you do for a living and you say you're unemployed, I don't start a conversation in my head about what a loser you are or how I feel sorry for you or I wonder if you got fired or I wonder how long you'll be unemployed. I don't run a conversation at all in my head about what's going on with you. I'm just totally present to you. Present and curious. So if you say you're unemployed, I don't know what my next question will be. Instead of me having a conversation in my head, judging you or feeling sorry for you, which is not being present to you, it's being present to me. So I'll give you an example. If just take the example of me versus, I don't know, Catherine, maybe you. If you're a highly empathetic person and you ask somebody what they do for a living and they say they're unemployed, you might run a conversation in your head about how you feel sorry for them and what about
the
kids.
Almost done.
And that's all about you. But if I ask somebody what they do for a living and they say they're unemployed, I'm more likely to run a judgment conversation about them because I don't think anybody has to be unemployed. I think people can get employed in the next week if they really want to. But see, both of those are about you and me. Feeling sorry for somebody, that's not about them. That's about you. Judging people because they ought to be able to get a job, that's not about them. That's about me. And when we run those conversations in our head, we're no longer present to the person we're talking to. Now we're present to our own value system. And people feel that disconnect. They feel when we're not there for them. And so what the Bliss Business philosophy is about is you stop selling, you stop recruiting, you stop manipulating people, stop closing people. Instead, you open people, and you open people by honoring them, and you honor people by being genuinely and intuitively curious and being totally present to them. And I suppose I can wrap this up by telling you a story that I like to tell that sort of epitomizes how well this can work as an enrollment philosophy. This is an article I read about 25 years ago when I started promoting these ideas in network marketing. And two things actually stimulated me to have a total shift in how I did business. One was a little audio tape by a guy named Larry Wilson called A New Way of Selling. And the other was this article that was written in Psychology Today, which told this story. The story went like this. The editor of the magazine and the magazine crew of Psychology Today staged this exercise. They put the editor of the magazine on an airplane, and his job was to fly from New York to Los Angeles and to be nothing but curious about his seatmate, just curious. To not offer any of his own stories, any of his own opinions, anything. Just ask questions and listen. And so when they got off the plane in Los Angeles, the crew of Psychology Today went up to the seatmate. And they said, hey, what did you think about the guy you flew out here with? Now, the seatmate, apparently, according to the article, did not know the editor of Psychology Today's name or what he did for a living. Didn't know anything about his family. Didn't know why he was coming to Los Angeles. Hadn't asked him, and you'll be surprised, actually, when you do this with people, when you're present for them and you're curious and you ask questions and you listen and you're present, you'll be amazed at how people will talk for an hour about themselves and never ask you one question about you. You'll be amazed. So they asked the guy, what do you think about the guy sitting next to you on the plane? And this is what he said. The most interesting man I've ever met. And yet he didn't know anything about him. That was his way of articulating what it felt like to be honored by another person. And so the Bliss Business philosophy of recruiting, prospecting, enrollment is simply this. Imagine if the people that you met in life, even if the people you already know, you started to show up for them as the most interesting person they've ever met. Do you think they will be interested then in your products and your business? In my experience, it's absolutely yes. and you'll find a fascinating reduction in the type and the number of objections that people give you along the way about the products, about the company, about the method of doing business. Their objections just seem to go by the wayside because they're not kicking and screaming coming into the business. They haven't been pressured into the business. They haven't been incentivized into the business. They have truly been enrolled by somebody they want to spend more time with. And so I imagine a marketplace 10 or 20 years from now where most people really understand what network marketing is and they admire and respect it, even though it might not be for them. And the last three or four people that prospected them to join a company did so in such a way that they actually enjoyed the process. So when you and I finally get to them, when the time is finally right for them, and something happened in their life or their awareness just got to the point where we ask them to take a look at our opportunity, they do so with grace. And that is when we're going to have a huge shift in how successful we are as a profession. We'll no longer be doing a measly, $100 billion a year. We'll jump right into the trillions. Why? Because we have an extraordinary solution for people's financial security, for their personal development, for their relationship building with other people, for their health, for their skin. And that's what I have to say.
That was great. Thank you so much, Mr. Brook. I appreciate that. Is it okay if we open it up for questions?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions they want to ask Mr. Brooks?
Mr. Brooks, this is Rachel. I introduced myself in the beginning as Catherine's sponsor.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Not really a question. I just want to say beyond wow, that was one of the most impactful things I've heard since I've been in Arvon.
You know, it's one of the things that I love that you said that I just, that I hope, you know, that, that I really got after I talked to Catherine after she had her private coaching with you was that, well, first of all, thank you for sharing with all of us, but was that, and then you added something this time, but it was, you know, the thing that people object to is network marketing. And if you can start with that, I love, like, instead of handing them our prospecting packet, it's like, just hand them the book and how much easier it is to say, like, you know, hey, you know, do you want to, can I send you a book? I mean, that's so much easier than I'd love for you to take a look at Arvon. And then the other thing, just going straight to hitting network marketing, because that is everybody's stopper.
Yeah, especially if you have a custom edition like you do, where all the stories in the back are Arvon stories. It's just so much easier to ask people to look at a book about a concept than it is to look at a company. I mean, even you as a distributor will feel more self-esteem and more confidence and more peace talking about a book than you will a company, because you don't anticipate the objections. You know, we tense up and we get scared when we anticipate objections, and we anticipate objections when we're selling something. And the book just takes a lot of that edge off. And the idea, really, from a business building standpoint, is if you have, you know, 10 or 20 books out at all times, what your single daily action becomes, besides placing new books, you know, maybe one a day, is just following up with people. It is so easy once they've read the book to say, anybody will tell you, you know, don't ask people what they think. But see, I think that's part of the whole sales training thing. I don't want to ask people what they liked best about the book, because if they didn't like the book, if they didn't like the concept, you know, they're likely to say, well, what I liked best about it is it was short, so I didn't have to read any more of that crap. I just ask people what they think. Because that's what I want to know, is what they think. If they're not interested, if they still think it's a scam, I actually enjoy that conversation. And what I find is most people who read the book, what they think after reading it is, this is a lot simpler and a lot more credible than I ever imagined. And it's so easy for you to just ask them then, you want to see how I'm doing it? And, you know, people will say yes, no, maybe. Not that it puts everybody in the business, because you got to catch people at the right time in their life.
I loved that we're telling them what they should do, and then they end up like going on the defensive. And I even think like, oh my gosh, you should take a look at Arvon. I'm like, I even have it in my verbiage. You should do what I do. You should. I was like, oh, never mind.
Okay, I'm messing up on that.
Yeah, you want to lose that version. You know, if you just ask people intuitive curiosity questions, you're going to show up for them like only two people have ever showed up for them in their entire life. Maybe more than two in some cases, but two categories. One is their mother. Mothers have unconditional love. And mothers want to know everything about their children. And they accept everything about their children unconditionally. And the other person who shows up this way is the person who at one time, maybe it's one, maybe it's more, fell in love with you. When we're in love with somebody, we want to know everything about them. We don't tend to judge them, and we don't tend to tell them what they should do. We're just curious. And when you show up for somebody like the unconditional love of a mother or the unconditional love of a lover, people open up to you. You don't have to close them. You open them. They open up to you, and they will spill their guts to you. They will tell you everything they're afraid of in life and everything they're passionate about. And that's all you're looking for is the pain or the passion, because with pain and passion, Arbonne is a solution. And the pain just might be the fear of financial security or, you know, getting kids educated, or, you know, a big one today is where am I going to get the money to take care of my parents? You know, because they're not prepared.
Right.
And it's going to cost $4,000 a month to put them in a home that can take care of them. Or I'm going to have to go buy a new home so I can move them into my home. If you just are that person for people, they'll open up to you and they'll tell you exactly why they would want to build an Arbonne business.
That is so great. Thank you. And I do have to say, Mr. Rhodes, this is Catherine again. Since our conversation last week, I have mailed out two of the four-year career books to people. And it was so much easier, like you said, just to do that instead of doing our whole business opportunity pack. So I did mail them to Spokane, so I'll be following up with them in the next couple of days. But it was so helpful just to do that.
Beautiful.
So anyone else have any other questions?
I just want to say one thing. This is Shay. I want to say thank you so much. I first listened to you, I think it was 2 years ago, at like a Savvy Marketing, Network Marketing Day that was published online. And you have been such an inspiration to me and my business. And it's been an honor to be able to listen to you live. And I love your passion that you have for this industry, for the profession. You know, from back in the days of your chicken days, through your whole entire journey, I've just been so curious of why you're so willing to help so many people that are not connected. And I know that that's a part of the business, but you really kind of answered it for me a little today as far as you really want to see a difference in this profession and the industry. But is there anything else? Can you tell me what is driving you to help so many people?
Well, this is 2015. Here's one answer. 2 years ago, I would have retired from the chicken plant with 40 years in, and I'd be living most likely in Merced or Livingston, California, and I'd probably be an alcoholic, and I'm sure I would be broke. And, you know, I'm talking to you from my lanai, and just the richness of the opportunity of network marketing has allowed me to build relationships with thousands of people all over the world. And I equate life and longevity not in years. I don't think when we're laying on our deathbed, if we get the opportunity, you know, to say goodbye to friends and family, as opposed to getting run over by a truck, I don't think if we're laying there, we quantify life based on how long we lived. I don't think we add up the years. I don't think we later going, well, you know, I'm 89, and so that's 89 great years. Wonderful. I made it to 89. I think we think about people and experiences, and that's how we quantify life. And so imagine you live, you know, maybe you live to be 90 years old, but you live a small, quiet life of desperation, which is the kind of life that most people live. And it's not that people are miserable. To maintain their sanity, they actually have to convince themselves that such a life is adequate. If they didn't, they'd go crazy. So that's why people say, you know, I'm very happy, I'm fine. Well, they have to be, because they don't know how to live any differently. And so they just have to get used to it and accept it. But I've lived, as a lot of people have in network marketing, an extraordinary life. There's other ways to do it. You know, if you happen to get an Ivy League education and you're well connected, and maybe you go to work for a dot-com company at the right time, you know, maybe you're going to live an extraordinary life, or maybe you're gifted with extraordinary parents and they're going to make sure that you create an extraordinary life. Maybe it's not always financially, for sure. I just find that the gift of network marketing, it's a niche. It's one way to live an extraordinary life, and it's been a huge gift to me. So I can't even imagine not helping somebody understand it. And then that speaks to the other reason, which is I'm deeply convinced and committed to collaboration over competition. I think competition is such a shallow concept, even when it comes to, you know, okay, the company's having a contest, and so everybody goes to work to win the contest, but, you know, we got to win so other people lose. And, you know, it's kind of hard to always win when you're competing against people who also want to win and are winners. Somebody ends up losing, so the losers feel bad. And, you know, the whole thing around competition is just not healthy, and it doesn't produce the extraordinary results that collaboration does. So, you know, if you think about me and Arbonne, I've been competing with Arbonne for 30 years. I've sold skincare before. I'm certainly competing with a financial opportunity. And so if my approach to Arbonne the last 30 years would have been, I'm going to put Arbonne down and try to steal their people whenever I can. I'm going to try to get them in my company instead of their company, whether it's a prospect or, you know, instead of having a beautiful relationship with Donna and Dana, my relationship would have been, you know, every couple of years I make a run at trying to recruit them into my company, which wouldn't have worked. And so what would I have got out of that relationship with the concept of competition? I would have got no relationship, would have not significantly improved my business, and it would have given me an empty feeling. Because when you play the game of competition, you got to be ready to lose. You got to be ready. It's just what's going to happen. And when in collaboration, there's no losing. So in collaboration, I have many extraordinary friends in Arbonne and in lots of other companies. And when you're deeply steeped in collaboration, part of that is contribution. It's part of the makeup of collaboration as you look to contribute. How can I support you in your business? And you don't do it looking for somebody to return the favor. You do it because it's one of your core values. One of my core values is contribution. I just love helping people, and I don't expect or need anything in return. And the last reason that I contribute is, and what motivates me, is the stories. I'm in love with the stories, and it's kind of crept up on me. I don't know if you've listened to any of the hero calls that I do, but every 2 weeks I interview somebody who has built a pretty extraordinary 4-year career in network marketing. And I just started it about a year and a half ago, and I think there's something like 25 of them now. And I just reflect on those. They're amazing stories, and those people's lives have changed, and those stories deserve to be told and deserve to be heard. And, you know, if I can just help create one more of those, it's fun. And, you know, what else are you going to do? Can't golf all the time. Does that answer your question?
That was great, Mr. Brooks. It really shows what a great guy you are, and thank you so much for helping everyone on this call and for helping everyone to learn more about network marketing to help with the profession. So thank you again so much for jumping on this. It was so helpful, like I said. So thank you. Enjoy your time in Hawaii.
I will. Send me some stories. Remember, I love to hear the stories. Send me some success stories. You guys have a great week.
Absolutely. We will. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.